much. All righty. We have the go-ahead here. So here we go. Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. May we have a call to order, please? A roll call, please. Thank you.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Councilmember Weirich.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor Bright.
I'm here. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to public communications. However, this meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is open. So we'll now move on to public communications. Have we anyone here that would care to discuss anything? No. All right, then. We're going to move along. We'll go right now then to...
Right.
There you are.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Jeff English, General Manager, Central Coast Blue. And sorry about that. I was not prepared for your introductory comment. So thank you. Jeff English, Central Coast Blue. It is my pleasure to come and speak with you this evening. And I just wanted to introduce myself for those folks who may not have met me already. I have been making some rounds in the public and doing some presentations, and so I've had an opportunity to meet a few of you. Councilmember Weirich was at the Rio Grande Kiwanis Club meeting the other morning, and I provided a presentation at that meeting as well. Just to let the public know a little bit more about Central Coast Blue, to really start doing some community education and to start answering questions from the public. And that's the reason I'm here tonight. One is to answer questions as you go through your rate study. We certainly know that there's an impact on your rate study as a result of this important project. And I'm here available to answer questions related to the status of the project and funding of the project and grants that we've acquired, which I do want to announce, and perhaps this has been informed to you already, that we did get formal confirmation that we secured a grant, an additional $8 million grant from the project from the state of California. It's a water board authorized grant from a groundwater sustainability program. And so we're excited about that. We were a little iffy on that and weren't sure that we would secure those funds. I want to acknowledge the city of Pismo Beach for actually appealing a decision by the state that we did not get funded initially from that program, but through that appeals process and providing the state with additional information, we were able to secure that additional $8 million. So that was a big boost in the arm for the project, and we're going to make some public announcements about securing that grant here soon. So we're excited about that. We're in the midst of design still. We're working out some final issues related to design, and should anticipate completion of design by the first of the year. We're also in the midst of permitting. Permitting is a challenge. We do need a coastal development permit for this project, and there's a number of things that we will need to provide, and we are on schedule, however, for permitting. And also, we're in the midst of our efforts to finance the project as well. And just wanted an acknowledgement of your staff. They've been unbelievably great to work with. I'm just blessed to have co-workers and compadres in my field that are so easy to work with. And the City of Grover Beach really leads the JPA in regards of cooperation and willingness to really provide me with the information I need to do my job. Wanted to answer any questions that you might have during the presentation or during the, any of the financing questions. I think Deanne is probably more than capable to answer better than I, but anyway, I'm here. I want to thank you for your continued cooperation on the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate all that information and the very kind words. I agree with you regarding our staff. Okay. So we'll move on now to the workshop portion of this meeting, the utility rate study workshop. Administrative Services Director Purcell, you're going to take this one, are you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Kind of. I'll start it out. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I'd like to introduce our rate study consultant, Mr. Clayton Tuckfield with Tuckfield & Associates. He will be presenting our results tonight to you. He's a registered professional engineer with a master's degree in business administration, and he has over 35 years of experience with over 100 rate studies, including many clients in the San Luis Obispo County. That include current rate studies for the city of Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Atascadero. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Tuckfield.
Well, good evening. I'm pleased to be able to make this presentation before City Council and members of the public. Tonight, what I'd like to do is essentially introduce the information to you, allow you to ask questions, and we'll hopefully have the answers with the staff that's shown here. This is, I'm sure you're not unfamiliar with Central Coast Blue, but I think...
What's your microphone on?
It is.
Okay. May have to trade you out. We're not hearing you back yet.
Is this better?
Is this better?
How about both of them? Stereo.
So are we good? Okay, I'll continue and I'll try to speak a little louder. Maybe that would help. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the purpose of our rate study. These studies are intended to evaluate the sufficiency of revenue coming into the water fund and the wastewater fund and make sure you can pay for expenses going forward in the future. We're looking at things like not only your operation and maintenance expenses, but your capital funding of the various projects the city constructs. We want to keep a minimum amount of cash on the hand in the fund for unforeseen contingencies. Meet any kind of legal obligations that are outstanding. When you borrow debt, they're what's called debt covenants, and so you have to maintain a certain debt coverage ratio as well as some other covenants. And so after looking at that, we decide whether or not revenues are sufficient. If not, then the idea is to raise revenue with different rates, water rates and sewer rates. So our major tasks then were to evaluate those revenues, develop that forward-looking financial plan, perform what's called a cost of service analysis, where we take those costs, allocate that to our different customer groups like single family, multifamily, commercial, industrial, et cetera, and then develop a rate for each one of those such that we collect the revenue we need in the financial plan for the next 5 years. Now, we do these financial plans for a 10-year period, but you can only adopt rates for a 5-year period according to California law. So why are our rates changing that we're presenting tonight? We looked at the O&M expenses. We realized that expenses continue to increase going forward. Your labor costs increase, materials, supplies also increase as we move forward. Your capital needs of the system, the city produces a capital improvement program and identifies specific projects they're going to spend money on, and that's something's also included in our review. Also looking at the cash reserves, like I mentioned, and the debt service coverage ratio. Now, also, for the water fund, we're looking at financial support for the Central Coast Blue project. And this includes its own operation and maintenance expense of that project, as well as debt service payments associated with financing of that project. Both those are going to be included in our forward-looking financial plan. So for the Central Coast Blue project, I'll do a brief description here. It's a regional recycled water project supported by the three cities of Pismo Beach, Rover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. It will provide a sustainable water supply, protects the groundwater basin from seawater intrusion. It will provide a supplemental groundwater supply, enhances reliability, and helps protect against the drought. I realize the drought's over now, but that doesn't mean there won't be another one. And this will help to ensure that you have sufficient supplies available. As I mentioned, this is advanced by the three cities. Grover Beach's share will be 36% of this project. Pismo Beach is 39%, and Arroyo Grande is 25%. So of the total cost of the project, not only the financing, the debt service, and the operation maintenance expense, you're going to share equally in those percentages that I've shown here, and that's been included into your water fund. Now, also listed here are construction cost grants, and we have included these grants into the rate study, and the overall cost of the project after grant is $48 million. Now, it's much higher than that. You can see there are substantial grants that are shown here, but I believe most of these have been rewarded. I think we've assumed that one was not, and that's the last one shown on here, but we're also in the works with that. Now, as I mentioned, the city produces a water capital improvement program, so I presented that here so you can see the individual projects that the city will be spending money on here in the next 5 years. The first one is that Central Coast Blue project. So it's substantial money, but we're proposing to finance that with a $22 million loan. I believe it's a WIFIA loan that will be included into the rate study and the debt service associated with that. We've also got some water main zone valves, capacity improvements, the 16th Street booster station, some water meter replacements, automated meter reading, and a reservoir maintenance project. So there'll be some substantial money going out these first couple of years. And so I will show you the impact of that on this slide. So on the left-hand side, you'll see the water financial plan. The columns represent your obligations like operation and maintenance expense associated with debt service, capital spending, and some money put away to reserves. So what you should see from this is that in those cases where the columns are larger than the red line, which is with the revenue increases, that means you're spending more money than you're taking in. So what happens on the right-hand side of this, you'll see the end of year cash. While we had sufficient cash to begin with the first 3 years, when we start spending that more than we don't have revenues for, it drops our cash level down. We need to build that back up to a target reserve shown in that blue line there. And so that's what the purple columns are on the left-hand side. We're putting money back into the fund. So got a lot of money, draw it down, then put it back in, and that minimizes the rate increases that we're talking about tonight with this financial plan. Okay, all good? So from that financial plan, we've identified how much revenue we need in each year to get by. And then what we're going to do is assign those costs to each of our customer groups, single family, multifamily, et cetera, based on a methodology that's acceptable. And that is the American Water Works Association methodology. So we go through this cost allocation process. We identify which customer group is responsible for what amount of dollars. And then we design rates that generate 25% of that money from fixed charges, 75% from variable charges. This is no different than your previous study, which was based on guidelines from the State Water Resources Control Board to try to make a signal to the customer that when you use more water, there's more cost involved. If it is the other way around, you'd be paying a lot of money and you can use a lot of water and you'd get no change in your bill. So the idea is to send that signal to conserve water. Maybe not to conserve water, but to give you the indication of what it costs. That's probably a better way of saying it. So when we developed the rates, I developed a five-year projection of what the single-family residential water bill will look like. And this is for a bi-monthly period with a three-quarter inch meter, which is the most common, at using the average consumption of 1,500 cubic feet bi-monthly. So currently, the bill is around about $94. 5 years from now, if we follow the plan and get the project built, that bill is going to be about $231 5 years later. So this is for the average consumer using 1,500 cubic feet. So this gives you an indication of where the bill is going. Now, we want to compare that to our other neighbors, and so I produced this slide here. This would also be at the three-quarter inch meter, consuming 1,500 cubic feet, running that through their rate schedules, and this is what the bill would be. What you see is Grover Beach is currently the lowest in the region. Now, with this first-year increase, which is essentially the largest for the average consumer, you'll still be in the lower third of those surveyed. So it appears that you've kept rates down low for a long period of time, and now we're just getting caught back up to where everybody else is. Okay. Let's talk about wastewater. So we also have a capital improvement program on the wastewater side. I've also listed the projects that are shown here. The first one, the sewer upgrade future flow of $3.6 million. We plan to finance that with a debt issue, essentially to keep as much cash as we can in the wastewater fund. And I'll show that on this next slide, what the purpose of that is. But you can see the other project costs that are shown here. Most of those are simply ongoing sewer replacements and things of that nature to keep the system going. And this will happen every year, not just these first 5 years. All right, so here's what we have similar to the water side. On the left-hand side, you'll see the financial plan. The right-hand side, you'll see our cash. Now, beginning the first year, we're a little bit low. Revenues don't quite match up, which means we're using some cash. And then the second year, that column is bigger than the red line, so we're drawing down on our cash. On the right-hand side, you can see that first year, then we draw down on it. And then about the middle of the financial plan, we've got another project, I believe it was the automated meter reading project. That's another, I think, $3 million. We plan to finance part of that, but not all of that. So this is a cash outflow. And then you'll see on the right-hand side the cash drop down because we're paying that with cash. But we maintain the amount of cash we want to keep in the fund. That's that blue line. So 10 years from now, we're looking good if we finance that project and keep our cash. All right. Likewise, we have a cost of service component. We take our cost, allocate that to customer class. However, on the wastewater side, your treatment is provided by the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So the costs for treatment are put on the property tax rolls, and that's not included in any of your expenses that we're talking about here tonight. We're only talking about the collection system expenses that the city pays for. So now our wastewater rates are designed to recover costs associated with each customer class based on flow. Wastewater flow into the system. So what we find is with the five-year projection of the single-family residential wastewater bill, the current bill is about $76. That will increase to $105 5 years from now. And this does include the treatment charge because we want to compare apples to apples. In other words, other cities have collection, treatment, disposal. We want to show your bill with collection, treatment, and disposal. So that's what's shown on this chart. Okay, let's compare that to our other communities. And you're not quite the lowest, but you're in the lower third. And even with this increase, you're just one step above that. So you're kind of the lower third in both cases on the water and the sewer side. And if we were to combine those two, the water and the sewer bill, with a 3/4-inch meter, 1,500 cubic feet, you're still in the lower third of the communities we surveyed here. Now, for next steps, tonight we're having this council workshop. On September 26th, we hope that the council will authorize to send out the Proposition 218 notices, and this is a legal requirement to have these notices mailed out to your users of the system. And that will be done on September 28th. We would have the public hearing on November 13th, and then rates would be implemented January 1, 2024. So for recommendations, I guess I would recommend you implement these rates to fund the Central Coast Blue Project, provide for Joint Powers Authority expenses and reserves, which is going to be the management portion of that project, and other system operating capital expenses. On the sewer side, we're proposing to finance that one project with $3.6 million of debt proceeds. And if you implement these rates, presented tonight, we'll be able to pay for that and meet the other requirements as well. So that concludes the presentation, and we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you. I have just one clarification before we get started. I didn't understand when you were referencing a property tax bill.
The treatment portion, which is you collect the wastewater through sewer pipes, and it goes into a bigger pipe, which goes to the treatment plant. That treatment plant is owned by the South San Luis Obispo County. Okay, so their costs are being placed on the county tax rolls. They're not being charged directly to a bill that's sent to you. Do you see what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you pay your property taxes on your house every year. That charge is included in that tax roll.
So is that then debt service?
No, it's really, well, it's a combination of operation and maintenance expense of the treatment plant, any debt that's on the treatment plant, and then maintaining its reserves.
Okay.
And so they create a charge just for treatment only.
And that's on our property bill?
That's on your property bill.
Oh, I did not know that. I knew that was
actually
the case.
Actually, Mayor,
for Oceano.
Mr. Tuckfield is correct in terms of the billing procedure and the billing that they do, but it is actually billed to us on our bi-monthly billing charges. So it's not on the property tax bill for Grover Beach. It is something that we do bill, and then we remit the payments to the South Sand District. There has been discussion about making that transition to property tax payment, and there are pros and cons to that. But to this date, as of now, we do continue the bi-monthly billing on behalf of the Sand District, unless there's interest in making a transition to property tax bills.
Okay. Very good. I just wanted to clarify that. So, okay, very good. So it is, we are not, there are not other charges on our residents' tax, a property tax bill that they're going to have to worry about.
No, Mayor.
Okay.
This is all
thank
billed
you.
Through our bi-monthly billing, which half the city is in one month, the other half
right.
of the city is in the other month. It's all combined together, and then again, we remit the payment for the Sand District to them directly.
Excellent. Okay, very good. All right, thank you for that clarification. So we'll start with questions. Who would like to start? Anyone in particular? Anybody have a burning desire? Clint wants to. Okay.
Yep. And some of these are just for me to make sure I understand things correctly within the intention of this. Is because different parts of it notes that this will fund the CIP program, and obviously, you know, when we adopted our city's budget, you know, included the 2024 through 2028, which this aligns with. So I assume that based off of where these rates would increase, it completely funds that, or am I misunderstanding that part? It seemed to have aligned, but I just want to get clarification on that too.
Yeah, the intent of these rates are to raise revenue to a certain level that mm-hmm. will pay for all those expenses, the operation, the capital, and debt and all that. And that was the intent of that financial plan, that red line going up there, that's the increases required.
Yeah, so both what's, you know, like I said, the attachment to our city budget and this basically line together. That's why I just wanted to get the first clarification on. And then also there's a couple parts that I just want to make sure I understood better, because one part of the report noted that said, however, water consumption information by the wastewater customer classifications was not available for use in the wastewater rate design. What does that actually mean when it came to the impacts? It may have no meaningful impact, but I just noted it was in one of the parts in the report, and I wasn't sure what that actually meant.
Could you direct me to that?
Yeah, let me pull it up. It's on the draft report. It was under page 37 under wastewater cost of service, second paragraph, second sentence. Like I said, it might not actually have any impactful changes, but I just wasn't sure what that actually.
Okay, page 37.
Under wastewater cost of service, second paragraph, second sentence.
Oh, so when I was updating the wastewater rates themselves, the billing information doesn't produce water consumption by the sewer classifications. So essentially what I'm doing is using the past allocations, and we're just simply increasing those to follow the financial plan. So at this point, I wasn't able to get the actual water consumption by those classes. But the water side, I can.
Okay. So and I'm just asking because I wasn't sure, since it was noted in the report, if that had any certain kinds of impacts on things later on, too, as far as if we ever had to revisit this or
okay.
not.
Okay. Yeah, in the long-term impacts, essentially what it means is that if anything has changed in the sense of how much water goes down the drain from each one of those classifications that are shown here, it wouldn't be reflected. However, once that information is available, then we can readjust those estimates of the wastewater contribution.
Okay, that answers my question. And under the primary peripheral reserves, and it's just something, like I said, I'm trying to get a sense of what this means. It was under the reserves policy. Let me pull up the page for that, too. Let's see, on page 11. And this is maybe me not fully understanding the difference in nuances. On the first two sentences, it mentions there's not written reserve policies. Then it says the city does have written reserves policies, but it's talking about two different things. But I wasn't sure within the context of what this all was pointing to, just kind of what that meant.
Yeah. Some cities have actual written reserve policy, meaning that it's delineated in a document where they say this is what this reserve is actually for, and it gets codified in the municipal code. In your case, you don't really have a written policy, but the city has goals of what they want to do, to how much cash they want to keep on hand. So though it's not written, it is a goal for the city.
Okay, so it's not anything substantial, and that affects this. Okay, and one of the other parts that I just wasn't sure, and it only came up when you're doing the presentation, is as far as on the wastewater side, being on the lower third, it notes below us, you know, Rio Grande, Oceana Community Services District. Since our city shares the South Sanitation District with them, is that possibly where the difference is? Because I just noticed we're all at the bottom together, and I'm not sure how other jurisdictions have, you know, since they don't have a shared district, if that's why we're all clumped together. Or?
No, you're all three of you get charged the same treatment charge.
Mm-hmm.
So the differences in the bills that I've shown here essentially are they have different cost structure than you have. They may have more administrative expense than you, or less administrative expense associated with it. They may have lower labor costs initially than yours, as far as sewer cleaning and stuff, so like any of the O&M type of expenses associated with that collection system.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Good. No? To my left?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. Let's see. So I had a question on the table and the report. It's on page 32, just the prices with the water capital improvement program table. It was one of your slides as well. Just wondering, as far as the Central Coast Blue costs, there's projected. Oh, yes, sorry. Talking this way. You got it. So looking at those, and the costs are only projected for CCB for financial year 23-24 and 24-25. Does that then cover our entire obligation of the non-grant-funded cost of this thing, our 36% or whatever Grover is?
My understanding is that's the capital cost to get it built. And so you should be operating with, like, the year after I've shown that, you should be operating at that point. So you're done. The construction is done.
So then it would just be the operating cost shown in a later table that's in the million-ish range, not this $19 million, for example.
The $19 million gets converted to a debt service payment. So the payment will continue for the next 30, 40 years or whatever. Now the term is, I think it's 30.
Sure.
So debt service, 30, O&M, ongoing.
I see. I was just trying to understand why that was only shown on those 2 years, and then it, abruptly is not projected anymore. So I wondered if maybe it would, you know, I understand that we need the money at the time, but just it's kind of like lessening the blunt force of it, I guess, at once. What else? Let's see. Another one on the storm. Sorry, I'm kind of, these notes were in order, I think, of the presentation, but on the storm drain, the sewer projection table, I don't have a page number for you, but it was another one of the slides, and 5 years from now, there is a $3.1 million storm drain repair item on there. I was wondering if that's a planned project, or is that just an example of a contingency that might need to be done, and we just kind of are earmarking a fund like that for it.
And Councilmember, I think I'll have a acting public works director, Gabriel Munoz-Morris, speak to that question, because he can speak to the operations and construction of that sewer project.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, council member. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're correct. There's a $3.1 million project, and I think it's fiscal 27-28. It's not a storm drain project. It's a sewer project. It's effectively phase two, if you will, of our sewer upgrade project, that first phase being that $3.6 million project that we're pursuing in this fiscal year in financing. The storm drain project that you might be referencing is, I believe it's in next fiscal year, 24-25. It's a $140,000 project. Mr. Tuckfield touched on it. It's not a storm drain repair. There's nothing structurally damaged with the storm drain. Water still passes through there. It's a crossing under the railroad tracks at Ramona Avenue. So what we're doing is lining it and just improving it, seeing as it's critical infrastructure under those railroad tracks. Does that help answer?
Sure. Yes. There was just another item further down, and maybe I can find it on the chart here, but it's not a big deal. I guess I was just kind of wondering where that particular one, that seemed like another big substantial project coming down the line eventually, and I was just kind of understanding that in the bigger picture of these things.
Yeah, the $3.1 million sewer project, it's definitely a planned project. As I was mentioning, the current project and that one are tied together. Our sewer master plan identifies different segments that are deficient currently in the system. We're pursuing a portion of those improvements through this current project, basically up to a point at North 9th Street and Atlantic City. That project would then finish off the improvements to a tie-in where a couple of our lift stations tie into. We need to upsize those lines as well to make sure we have capacity for existing development and then any future development that comes online.
Gotcha.
In the future.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That it?
One other, and I know this is a tricky comparison, is when we're looking at where our rates fall compared to the others, and that projection for 24 is really helpful, kind of illustrating where we fall. And I know that everybody else has, or many others have, rate changes planned as well, adjustments and things. Do we have any idea where our standing would be once this thing is kind of up and running, once we kind of get over the initial hump of funding? Where do we think we're going to stand in the rate rankings, if you will?
Yeah, that's
ballpark.
That's tough to project. I mean, just like you, you're going to have a Prop 218 notice, and you're going to lay out rates for 5 years, and just every other city will do the same. There are cases I've had where they end up suspending the Prop 218 increases simply because the projections were lower, which may be the case for the city of Gover Beach also, because we've used the high-cost scenario for the Central Coast Blue project. It may actually be less, in which case your expenses will be less and you could actually lower rates, but I'm not saying that right now, but just I'm saying there are cases like that. So to make a projection of where you would be difficult. For example, I know that some other cities here are looking at rebuilding or building a new wastewater treatment plant, which would cause a high debt service payment and their rates would go way up, but we don't know that just yet. Other ones don't need any improvements because they've already done those improvements, so that's why they're high right now. This is where we know where we are now, and then going forward, you just have to assume that they're going to raise their rates proportionally also.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties into my very last question, which is there's been some amazing work done as far as the grant gathering and things, and the funding is impressive. Are there other potential grants orbiting around that we're targeting for maybe the next year or two? Is there anything else that wasn't discussed that's kind of a potential source of additional funding? Or
Well, these are the grants that we know about that's in the study right now.
Sure.
Potentially there could be more grants. I'm not aware. Maybe Jeff could speak to some more of those grants. I'm not aware of that. Maybe the city manager can.
Yeah, and this is probably a good opportunity for Mr. English to talk about that $10.8 million federal Title 16 grant, as that's one where we believe it's likely we'll be awarded it, but to be cautious, we did not include it in the rate study at this point because we don't have the money in hand. Maybe Mr. English, can you speak more to this grant and what the timing is, what the prospects are from the project standpoint, and then ultimately, if we receive it, then we would be looking to bring down our future rate increases as a result.
Certainly, yes. That Title 16 grant is through the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, and we've already secured a $14.1 million grant through that grant program. We can actually acquire up to 25% of the grant funding cost, the total cost, through that program, which would bring us to that additional $10 million amount that was referenced in the report. We were funded on our first application process last time. We anticipate that we will be funded again. It's a pretty healthy federal fund, and so we're encouraged, and we believe that it's most likely that we will be funding. be funded. However, it's we don't have the money in hand, and we don't have any assurance that that grant fund will be there when we ask for it. So I think the prudent thing to do is not to include it in your projections. However, we will continue to pursue that grant as well as any other opportunities that come our way. We are continuing to keep an eye open for any additional funding opportunities. We've kind of looked at all of the available funding sources now and have applied for and received some of them. However, what you have shown is what we've secured already. We're just very confident that we'll get that additional funding, but certainly can't until we get the money in our pocket, we can't guarantee it. So that answers your question?
Yes, thank you. Helpful additional context, and that's all for me.
Thank you. Sir?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So actually, thank you for asking on the Title 16. Just to doubly confirm there. So we anticipate the 10 plus for the Title 16, hopefully. I saw that on your list of the totals, bringing us down to that $48.9 million in the remaining balance, essentially. And that included that 10, just making sure that these rate increases do not assume that we have that money in hand.
This assumes you do not have that $10 million in grant. So it's obviously getting that grant would lower the rates that we're talking about here.
And when we go through with this process, obviously we're setting high-end thresholds of what we can do with rates. It would be within the realm of staff and the council to not go to the full extents on the year-after-year basis. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, right now these are our best, well, not my best, but the engineer's best estimates of the project cost and the operation and maintenance expense of that project. And to the extent that would be less going forward, then potentially you could lower those rates.
Okay, great. And I'm not sure exactly who I should direct this to, but I was actually curious on the timeline of the rate increases in general, January 1st versus our fiscal year, as to whether or not this was due to expedience needs or what the rationale was for January.
A couple of reasons. One of those reasons is we want to try to get this loan as soon as possible so that we can start construction on this project. And to do that, when you get the loan, there are requirements. We talked about a debt service coverage ratio. So that means you have to raise rates high, like we said, to be able to meet that by the time the debt service kicks in and meet that coverage ratio. So you can't really say, well, let's kind of delay it because the debt service payment starts. So you have to meet that coverage. That's really the kind of the main criteria, as well as the O&M expense will start after the construction. So there's two things, the debt service payment and then the O&M expense. So kind of a double.
And just to add to that, that point, what's driving the timing ultimately is construction of Central Coast Blue. Okay. The construction is slated to begin in the first half of calendar year 24. Once that begins, there are significant bills to pay in the contract bills and contract management and so on and so forth. So that's what's driving the financing. And council had previously authorized staff to submit the WIFIA application, and we've done so. We're working through that process. And to fund the WIFIA loan payments, we have to have the rate adjustments. So ultimately, the main timing is Central Coast Blue going from idea to reality here in the next 6 to 9 months, along with the wastewater projects. We have a project the council is aware of. We had to reject all the bids recently. We're rescoping the project and retooling that to go out to bid again next spring using proceeds from these rate adjustments. And that wastewater project is being done so that we don't have to tear up newly repaved streets with K-14 funding. So all this is in tandem based on the infrastructure needs. And that's what's driving the January timeline because of that.
I appreciate the clarification. That's great. Thank you very much. I'm good for now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, most of my questions have been answered. I did, though, have a question on one of your slides. You had indicated on the water side purchased water. Were you referencing the Lopez?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Very good. Thank you. And then I guess this will probably be to city staff. In the staff report, there was discussion regarding a what is it called? Well, it's a utility assistance program in our general fund of $50,000. And I'm wondering if those funds are used to capacity, and if so, if maybe we may need to look at the possibility of increasing that a bit, because the folks that take advantage of that are the ones who are really going to suffer the most with these price increases. So can we talk about that just a bit?
Yes. Yeah, so currently we do, you're correct, we have $50,000 that we budget in the general fund. And that basically covers, if they qualify, it covers their meter charge and their sewer charge. So as the rates go up, so does that credit. So I think it will just automatically cover the need. You know, it's consistent with whatever the rate increase is. So as their credit increases as the rates increase.
So are you saying that $50,000 limit increases as well?
We will probably need to adjust that. You're correct.
Okay.
When we first started this program, we had budgeted $50,000, and we didn't meet the $50,000. But as it's become more popular in the last couple of years, we're finding that we are spending around $50,000.
Okay, good.
For that
so then,
program.
Okay, excellent. That was good what question. I wanted to know. We just don't want to. I want to make sure that we don't leave those folks behind. So,
and one option, Mayor, is if the council wanted to provide direction to staff to consider increasing that amount, and it is funded by the general fund, so mm-hmm. it is a general fund expense. You could provide that direction, and we could look at what that amount would be and come back to you as part of the mid-year budget process with a suggested amount, and then council could make changes from there.
I would like that. Are we in agreement?
Please.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay, well, those are all of my questions. So we will now open this up to public comment. I don't see any public in the audience. Have we anyone on the line?
No, we do not.
Okay. All right, then I'll bring it back to council for comments and so on. Anybody care to make some comments?
None for me, thank you.
No?
Just thank you for that report. It's very thorough. Appreciate the hard work.
Thank you, Dina. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I guess I'll do a few. So one of them I'll get out of the way, too, as far as, since I know part of this is talking about the Prop 218 notice later on, that I believe, and I'll try to do this in a way that will soften the blow, too, on it, is we do actually have, you know, a pretty substantial monolingual Spanish population, and I know that because a lot of them live in South Grover Beach too. So I think for the notice that at the very least we should have on our city's website a Spanish translated version of it, and you know the English notice that goes out to everyone should have at the top too. Basically, for Spanish speakers, go to this web link in a non-complicated URL as well, and. Yeah, other cities and stuff have done that, but I believe that would be a very missed opportunity, especially since these are very technical things too. When it comes to some of the families that go to Grover Beach Elementary that live in the south side of Grover, I know that their kids translate things for them, but since this is very technical stuff, it'd be best stuff if it's in a way that the parents and families could read it themselves. So that's the first thing I just want to get out of the way, and I think it's. Obviously the long-term benefits, are here as far as securing new water sources for Central Coast Blue, especially within the, when we were talked earlier this year, as far as when we got rid of our mandatory water conservation, activities, it was noted that, well, we'll probably be, depending on if we get another storm or, or rain, which, was kind of unusual this year, that we'll probably be back into that situation in a few years. So, I do believe we need a fund to get Central Coast Blue online, too, so that those parts do align and we're not stuck in a, potential situation where we're telling our residents, all right, back to water, back to mandatory conservation activities and fines, et cetera. But with that, too, I do hope we really, within the context of that utility assistance fund and even what that means outside of people who qualify for that PG&E one, because this is, mainly on the water side, I'm thinking specifically, quite a bit of an increase, too. I mean, that's, yeah, we're not talking, you know, a few hundred bucks too. I mean, for some people, it's going to be thousands. And it was kind of concerning to see that jump happen, though I understand why, in securing our water resiliency or water security. And even though we're not the biggest piece in the, you know, totality of cost for people, you know, we are a part of that equation. And I do hope, when it comes to how we talk about our CIP, you know, projects in different areas, that it's clearly explained that, that, you know, beyond Central Coast Blue, which is easy to kind of explain to a certain degree, that these other areas, how it actually benefits in the long run. We all know on the council here that costs are only going to go higher, you know, so getting on top of things earlier will save us money for all of them and not have to increase rates. But because of how high this skyrockets right off the bat, and I always liked the idea of, like, you know, tiered raising up, but obviously we heard that that's not really an option because of next year, how it has to start that way. So I do, I would like to see, you know, it be very clear from our council's direction that, yes, if we get, you know, the federal funding, you know, for Central Coast Blue, if staff is seeking other external grant funding for our, you know, other CIP projects, that we do have, you know, pretty clear triggers to evaluate our rates to possibly reduce them. Because even people who aren't necessarily in the low income place, you know, there's always that fine tune of residents who are not quite there, but close enough to. So I don't want to see this as just, you know, we raise it and we forget about it, that kind of attitude. But it's like, okay, if we can reduce and provide some relief, yeah, let's take those opportunities and stuff. And that's why, I'm glad that, you know, at least this one option is clear from us, but there might be other ones too.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
No, I think Clint covered it well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I think the outcomes are very important, not only for the city, but as well as the folks who live here and drink the water and require the water for whatever purposes they need it for. So I am supportive of this, mainly for three reasons, and that is because we are still, I think, in an affordable range for many of us. We're not at the top of the rung, and you know, we're trying to keep these things as low and as practical as we possibly can. Then, and also to ensure future water availability in times of severe drought, which we know we will see again, history has proven that over and over again. And it also ensures proper maintenance and operation to the systems that will prevent major disasters like what happened in Flint, Michigan, and that sort of thing, where you get to a point where things are so exorbitantly expensive that you can't afford to fix them. So I think for those reasons, I do support this, and I also agree with my colleague, Councilmember Wyrick, that I know that we're not just going to let this slide. If there is an opportunity to make things easier, we certainly would want to see that happen. So so this is a receive and file, basically. Do you need any other, or do we need a motion to approve the 218 noticing process?
I'll defer to this to the city attorney, whether a motion that's needed for that direction to, for us to staff to proceed in developing an agenda item on September 25th that will then formally authorize the beginning of the 218 process.
I think what staff is essentially looking for is direction from the council to proceed in that direction. I don't think you need to approve anything, but okay. It's your choice to go forward with the establishment and development of this fee. There will be some expenses that the staff will start to incur at this point. So it's really looking for a direction from council to head that direction.
Thank you. And then what about the Spanish translation? Is that something we should direct now, or would that come back to us in November?
I'll take that one. Thank you. Staff would look to the council to provide such direction on kind of Wyrick's idea for that. We would look, pending your direction, look at how we could pull that together through an online version. But again, I'll look to council for your direction on that.
What do you all think?
I think that's good.
Okay, I agree.
Yes, I think we should.
Well, the notices that go out, could it not be English on one side and Spanish on the other?
We can talk about, I guess, how it's going to happen, but we would like it to happen.
Okay. Yes.
I think for the most part, the noticing requirement is to be sent to the owners of the property. And so, therefore, if you could put it in both languages, it should go out to both. It would be my opinion and recommendation that it go out to the property owners in both languages.
Okay.
And I could clarify that the reason why I'm saying as far as the online version is online, yeah. In case someone brought up the it's going to cost a lot, you know, an extra printing paper. Yeah. That's the only reason why I brought that up too. Sure. But if it's not a substantial cost, then yeah, if you do it on both, then that's just easier to do anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
I think what staff will do, we'll take the direction of council to explore Spanish translation, and we will work on next couple of weeks on putting together the best plan for how that's done, and then in the agenda item for the 25th, staff will be presenting that to the council, and if council wants to make any further changes at that point, you may.
Excellent. Okay. That sounds well. All right, then. Well, unless there's any other comments here, I think we have some.
I would just thank our team. This has been a tremendous amount of work. There have been so many iterations of this rate study in the last few months as the different moving parts. In fact, still a couple of moving parts that we are finalizing over the next couple of weeks. But this is what we believe we need in order to make these investments. Lopez Lake was created in 1965 with a $16 million investment, which was a Herculean task for these communities at that time. We're facing a similar once-in-a-generation investment in Central Coast Blue, and then the water and sewer maintenance needs, to the council's points, those are necessary to help continue the work we've done over many years. Thank you to Administrative Services Director Deanne Purcell and Public Works, our Director Greg Ray is not here, and Acting Director Gabriel Munoz-Morris, and thanks to the council for your policy leadership. We know this is sobering, and this is a tough moment. We know there are significant impacts, and we appreciate the council's leadership and help and guide us, and we will be looking at that low-income subsidy program and how we can continue to use that as a tool to assist those who qualify to help in this transition.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Yep.
Thank you.